Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Laura, where are you today?
Montana.
Montana, that's what you said. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So, Laura, Laura's only going to be able to be with us for a couple hours this morning because she's on a road trip, long needed, much needed for her mental health. But I just want to, Laura, I'm going to be a little personal here because I want to point something out to people. This is how the universe works. When I got the email from Laura this morning, my mind went, oh, isn't this interesting? Because you're going to find that the things that you like least, your subconscious has a way to avoid. And so we are working on, Laura, we're working on all body stuff. Today and tomorrow, it's all body. And it's like, it's this incredible thing that you are going to notice in yourself and in others, that if it's something that's not your, it's like somehow the whole universe conspires. And the one weekend that Laura's on a road trip is the weekend that we're working on the topic, let's put it that way, that is one of the most challenging for you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I giggled when I saw that. It was like, and you don't argue with it because it happens. We have to trust our rhythm. We have to trust our rhythm. And I don't understand it. Laura doesn't understand it, but this is what's happened. And for some reason, we know that Laura will get more benefit out of watching the videos than having participated. Because, I mean, and we don't know. Maybe you'll share with us, you know, in a month or two, it'll become clear. But what I want you to, part of this whole training is about being authentic, right? And it's about learning to show up for moments like this with a sense of humor rather than a sense of, oh no, what am I doing? What's going, you know, we don't go there. We don't go there. We don't go there. We show up with a sense of delight at the irony of the universe. And we know that if this has happened, there's a reason. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So
I do have to admit that there was lots of last minute shifting, and this is how it happened. Like, it was very much planned for me to participate the entire weekend, but now it's not. So
no, I totally I know that. And so, excuse me, little wax coming out. Oh, geez. I've never had braces. So those of you who had braces know exactly what I'm dealing with. And, but anyway, TMI. So Laura, we'll be here for a couple hours this morning, right? And then we'll do the rest on video. So what I want to say, actually, I want to wait till Agnieszka's here to say that. So.
I have a tip about Invisalign, because I had Invisalign as well.
Yes.
You know, they said to wear it 23 hours out of the day, but yeah. I just wore mine at night and it shifted just as much as the people that wore them all the time.
No.
So if you're a little bit of a rule breaker and you can just consistently wear them at night, you'll probably be fine.
Oh my gosh, you made my life, because I'm telling you, taking them in and out, you can't drink tea, coffee, not that I drink coffee anymore, but can't drink it because it stains. You can't eat anything with them on. And it's, oh my gosh. I am not a rule breaker in these worlds, but I'm going to now because I heard it from a Capricorn. All right. Okay, if a Capricorn can break these rules, I can too. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so 2 years from now, if you guys go back and watch this video, you're going to watch this and crack up, because it's like, really? This is meditation class? Let's talk about rule breaking. Okay, so let's do this. Well, since Agnieszka is going to be a bit late this morning, why don't we open with a meditation I'm going to lead you in. And then I'll give that little opening thing I wanted to tell you all about, because I want to help you bring some context to what we've done and where we're going over this first trimester, right? I mean, I don't know if it seems random to you. I don't know, but there really is a patterning that I'm trying to set you up for. And so, So let's start with a meditation. How's that? And so find your seat. And we're going to go faster this morning than we've done before. And I'm going to ask you, we're going to start with that Ishta meditation. And no matter your resistance, do your best to stay with it and use what we've been doing in the group meditations to, if you're still struggling with your Ishta, to just let your Ishta be a place of intimate, something that cares for you, something that loves you. Okay? Because I know a couple of you are still kind of trying to find your way in. All right? Okay, so feel our seat, your feet, your palms. With that next inhale, feel that expansion in the belly that connects you into your seat. And as you exhale, soften into your seat. Take a moment to notice any tightness in your jaw, your shoulders, your back. And some of you, it might even be in your belly today, in your gut or your heart. And see if you can consciously, on your own, soften that tightness. Using the breath and intention. And we're just releasing. Softening is releasing. It's releasing attachment. It's releasing resistance. And allowing ourselves to show up for this moment. Right here, right now. So as you soften here, hold that thought. What is in my muscles that I'm attached to? What is in the tightness that I'm resisting? And we're not asking the question to get an answer so much as we're asking the question to open ourselves to being able to just let go, knowing it's one of the other. And maybe it's safe right here, right now, to let go of the past, to let go of the fear of the future. And you're not betraying yourself or anybody to show up right here, right now. Completely present. And so let's continue. By just imagining yourself at the base of your mountain. And let's have a sense of anticipation and eagerness. It's like there's 11 of us together right now, each on our own mountain. And we're all together in a moment going to begin that ascension up to that place. To that place of joy, clarity, wisdom, bliss. So it's almost like in my mind, we're all at the base of our mountains. And in a moment, I'm going to say, ready, set, go. And when I do, you're going to start to climb up that mountain. But we're going to go quick. Our goal is the waterfall. Why? So we can purify. And from the waterfall, our goal is the top of that mountain. Why? So we can touch. We can touch. That place of pure wisdom and love and light and clarity and compassion and joy. Okay? So, you know, like Laura probably feels about the road trip, you know, a little excitement, in your mind, you can even put your favorite road tunes on your, in your head. You know, I got a couple. So let's go. Start up the mountain. This is a joyful thing. We're going up the mountain. Up, 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 up. And because it's magic, we are finding ourselves to the waterfall. And as we gaze at the waterfall today, we're going to stop for just a moment and say, hey, what's the color of purity to me? Just for today, right? Not forever, just today. So if it's rainbows, if it's pink, if it's red, doesn't matter. Take it. And now come to stand below your, in the center of your waterfall. And feel it washing down over you. Allowing it to wash away. Just like when you sit in the bath, right? It's like your muscles immediately soften. And let the feel of that light, that water of light washing down over you, soften the body. And then when you're ready, open up that crown chakra, open up the portal at the top of your head and allow this light to flow in, to just flow in and wash down through. And as it washes through, you surrender and you allow its intelligence to find what needs to be released. So what this means is you're not thinking, you're just visualizing, sensing this powerful grace flowing through you and washing away heaviness, negativity, suffering, fear, confusion. And for some of you, it might help to literally feel like you're opening up the portals, the chakras in your feet and allowing all of this gunk to just wash out. For some of you, you might want to put your hands, palms up on your lap. And you will feel that chakra at the center of your palm opening up and all that gunk and schmutz, as one of my teachers calls it, just washing out. And now let it wash, wash, wash. And in its place, you are becoming that light, that color. So we're not thinking now, just wash it out. Just wash it out. Let yourself be filled with this color of light. This radiant light, every cell pulsating now with this grace, this light. And you lift effortlessly. The light itself just lifts you up through the waterfall. And as you come out through the top, you see the top of your mountain. It's high up there, but now you float. You just float all the way up to the top of the mountain. And today, we're not even going to touch the top of the mountain because we're so filled with this light. But there you rest, and in front of you is your Ishta. Your Ishta is standing there, so your sun center is level with your Ishta's navel. And as you rest here, knowing what's about to happen, let your heart be excited. You're about to be infused with the essence, the love, the grace of your Ishta. And so bring your attention to your arms, your legs, that channel that runs through the center of your spine. And with your next inhale, draw the energy from your toes up through your legs, up into your torso. Exhale, all the energy from your legs is in your torso. Next inhale, draw the energy from your fingertips up your arms, exhale, it all drops into your torso. Inhale, exhale, press all that energy in your torso into that channel, into the center of your spine, and let's take a moment here to establish that sense. Just sense it. Imagine it. That's all we need. And drop your attention to the base of your spine. Imagine a little blue ball, red ball, whatever the color of your light is. Imagine a ball of light at the base of your spine. And now lift. Lift up from the root chakra, up past the lower back, up past the navel, up past the heart, up past the throat, up to the center of the head, and project it forward to your sun center. And then from here, we're going to just do three quick rotations. So just follow me as best you can. Lifting that ball of light up over the forehead, up over the top of the head, down along the back of the skull, down past the throat, the heart, the navel, the lower back, to the base of the spine, and up again through the center of the spine, lower back, navel, heart, throat, center of the head. Come forward to the forehead, along the outside of the forehead, over the top of the head, down along the back of the head, back of the throat, down past the heart, the navel, the lower back, the tailbone, and one more time up. Lower back, navel, heart, throat, center of the head, and project forward, but this time project through the sun center to the navel of your Ishta and lift. Through the heart, through the throat, up through the top of your Ishta's head, a golden, now golden fountain of light sprays up and it arcs towards you and it sprays into your crown chakra and it washes down, down through the head, the throat, the heart, the navel, the lower back, the tailbone, and up again. Tailbone, lower back, navel, heart, throat, out through the sun center, into the navel of your Ishta, up heart, throat, crown, arcing towards you, flowing down towards your crown chakra, down past the throat, the heart, the navel, the lower back, the tailbone, and up again, lower back, navel, heart, throat, up to the center head, project forward through your sun center. One more time, into the navel, up through the heart, the throat, the top of the head, and that fountain flows into your crown chakra. And then down into the throat, the heart, the navel, the lower back, the tailbone. And come back up. Come back up. Come back up, up to the sun center. And now this time, we go three times around your own body. Over the forehead, over the top of the head, now along the back of the body. Past the throat, heart, navel, lower back, tailbone, up. Look through center of the spine, lower back, navel, heart, throat. Center of the head, project to the sun center along the outside of the forehead, over. And then down. Down, heart, navel, lower back, tailbone, and up. Up, on your own. Up, up, up to the sun center. And one more time, up over the top of the head. And down. Down, heart, navel, lower back, tailbone. Now rest. Your Ishta dissolves. And here you are. And just rest here now. Just rest here. And from here, allow your awareness to expand to the great vastness, the great expanse of all life. expanding your awareness out to the farthest reaches of as far as your awareness can go, with a sense that all of this is from goodness and love and wisdom, and you are connected to it. And then come back to that sense of personal, intimate being loved, that this great vastness is also so personal, loves you so much, cares for you so much. Can you soften and open and allow yourself to be loved? And then from here, bringing the feeling of what your aspiration is, what your Ishta represents, that feeling of what you're seeking. Bring that feeling into your being. And as you hold it with a sense that everything is conspiring to help you get there. All of these forces, these energies are on your side, helping you to become free of the distractions, the obstacles, the patterns of thought and behavior that are sabotaging you. And then for you, for us as teachers, as teacher trainees, let's hold the sense that may this journey that I am taking, that you are taking, that we are taking together, may this awaken in all aspiring souls eternal wisdom and unselfish love. And yes, you are worthy of that aspiration. You are worthy of that aspiration. Let's close now together with an Om Shanti, three Shantis. Inhale. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. All right, beautiful ones. When you're ready, just bring your attention back into your body by just squeezing your arms, your legs, stretching your fingers. Just coming back. Agnieszka, you made it right in time for the meditation. That was perfect.
Yes, thank you. Good to see you all.
It's good to see you too, yeah. So, moving right along, here's what I wanted to just share with you. Is this the first part of this trimester, we really, our attention was on, between the group meditations and what we were doing here, was on, you know, what is meditation? What is the meditation practice? How do I, what are the things you need to do to find a place where it's comfortable to sit. What is the attitude to get in your head? The attitude in your head being of kindness and patience as you step into this new way of being. And I know some of you are still trying to find your way into a regular formal practice. And what I want to stress is we are not just meditating formal practice, meaning sitting on the cushion. We're using our life. We are using our life, what we're doing during our days, so that really our life is the main ground of our practice. Whatever we do on the cushion is like a ballet dancer, you know, practicing first position, second position, third position, just arm on the bar, just practicing those things. It's like somebody who plays golf going to the driving range and just practicing hitting balls. It's like somebody who plays tennis just practicing on a backboard, right? It's like somebody who's an Olympic swimmer just swimming laps. We're training. Your practice on the cushion is training. It's not the moment. It's training. And what is it training for? It's training for your life. So to sit on the cushion and this is what so many people do, sit on the cushion. I have my moment. I get up and I go back to my, you know, old, my same old thought patterns, my same old reactivity. That's not the point. The point is to take what you're learning into your life. So if you're having trouble finding your formal practice, which I did as a mom, you know, I had periods where I could meditate in the morning. I could meditate at night but there were lots of periods where I had no routine. So I just did it in my day. I watched my thoughts during my day. And this is what you want to do. This was the misconception I had from the beginning, was that, oh, if I sat on the cushion, that was going to be it. But sitting on the cushion is necessary. It is. We do it. It's our training ground. But it's what you do during your day that is most important. Okay? So I just want to stress that in our, I don't know if I said it quite that directly, but that's the whole point of this, is to bring it into our lives. Okay. So first part, we were reading the Kriyananda. We were reading Bhante. I can't remember the last part. I have a block against it. I like calling him Bhante. And we just kind of wrapped your minds into this idea of meditation, the fact that the mind has its own thing going on. How do you sit? What are the obstacles? We just exposed you to this world of meditation and mindfulness. Mindfulness being that ability to be completely in the present moment without the past, without the future. Or if the past and the future are there in your head, you're aware of it. Okay? And what we're going to do from here is we've been working our way into an awareness of the body with the body scan. And I just sit here going, okay. And the Ishta is in here because the Ishta is the overarching thing that we're going to carry all the way through the nine. Okay. So, and the technique we're doing is a mystical technique that will become much clearer what we're doing at the retreat. Okay. So just keep doing it with me every week. You're going to sit there and go, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't feel anything. There's nothing happening here. And it's like, don't worry about it. If your mind is just going where I'm telling you to go, a part of the time, it's still working. Okay. So that's 9 months, that one. But this body thing that we're working on right now, and we kind of want to really settle into this weekend, is this, stems from this concept. So let's take this approach from here on. You are not your body. You are not your emotions. You're not your mind. That So what we're working on in the group meditations, right? Neti, neti, neti. You are not any of those things. And those of you who, the Monday, Tuesday people will be moving into neti this week. Thursday group started it last week. So who are you, right? Who are you? You are, let's assume for this purpose, let's work from the assumption that you are this radiant little beam of light, little particle of light that is intricately connected to all of this. And this part of you, this you, this gem, this jewel. Oh, April, I was hoping, I don't know where I put. Oh, maybe it's in here. Last retreat we did, we had everybody, we gave everybody these little, do you have yours there? Oh, there it is. April's got it. Can you get it closer to the camera? It's like, imagine that that's what you are. You are this pure, pure sphere of radiant, luminous light. Thank you, April. Yeah. Okay. And this light that you are, we'll talk about, there's some stories, there's some wonderful traditions about this, but I'm going to let those go for today. Let's, this light that you are wants to play, wants to have experiences, wants to know the fullness of what it is. And so it, in its effort to really know the fullness of what it is, comes to Earth School to learn who and what it really is. And it comes to Earth School, all your logical minds, I can hear you in there, just stop going, well, why would I want to come to Earth School? What do I want to do that for? Just don't. Just stay with the story, right? It's like a children's story. And this little Earth, this little ball of light decided to come to Earth to find out what it meant to be human. That's our story. And you get here and part of you forgets, that's part of the journey, is you forget. You take on this body, you take on your parents, you take on your environment, you take on your world. And there's all of this stuff in there that's not easy. And this radiant part of you takes these things on to find out just how strong and radiant can I be? Can I be radiant and strong with a bunch of assholes yelling at me? Can I be radiant and strong when people are telling me I'm no good, telling me I'm worthless, telling me I don't deserve it? Can I be radiant and strong when it appears that there's so much suffering around me? Can I be radiant and strong and compassionate towards myself and towards others? So we come in and we take on this, we're going to learn how to be radiant and strong with hate and meanness and cruelty and ignorance and anger and greed. And the gods in their wisdom said, you know, we're going to need a way for you to kind of filter all this and figure out what's going on. Because, you know, we've kind of, you're going to forget kind of who you are. You're going to get really absorbed in this. So we need a tool for you to be able to gauge what's going on. So we're going to give you this thing called a body. And this body is going to know before you are aware, your body's going to know what the hell's going on. So your tool we're giving you is this body that has all kinds of sensitive, well, let's call them nerves and energy channels. And if you can learn to like this body, trust this body, use this body, it can become your vehicle to full awareness. So the punchline here is that your body actually knows before you know consciously what is going on. But we don't know that because we weren't taught that. We were taught, I could unmute you all right now. We could all just have this nice long discussion about what you were taught, right? You're taught to ignore your body. You are taught to use your body to stuff things and hold them in and not express them and not experience them. You are taught tragically to judge your body and not like your body and want your body to look like that body. Right? We were taught to ignore our bodies, to not like our bodies, and our bodies are, well, I don't know. Anybody, what else were you taught about your body? What else can we add to this?
The body is sinful.
Oh my God, Agnieszka, that's right. It's been so long, I forgot. We taught it's sinful.
And it's your husband's.
Ooh, exactly, Lisa. It's property of somebody else. Ooh, keep going, guys. Good thing I opened it up, man. What else were you taught about your body?
It was a tool to get what you wanted.
Oh.
You know.
I can cause men to sin.
Oh, that it can cause men to sin.
I have the power.
All right. That's a good one.
Just like in the context that it's not the men's fault. It's always the woman's fault that they're thinking about those things. Like when my kids were growing up, it was the girls who had to cover up, not the men that had to watch the thoughts.
Exactly, Lisa. Thank you for clarifying. I knew what you meant, but thank you for clarifying that. Exactly. That's what women are raised with, right? What else? Kelsey, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know where I picked it up, but almost like a sense of betrayal from the body. Like if there's pain, that it's betraying you.
Oh, yes. That's true. Yes.
So can I just share? I would like to share something with the class on this. I started doing some research several years ago because I had two really bad cancer scares. And cancer, come to find out, about 95 to 98% of cancers and autoimmune diseases are caused by our thoughts, by how we talk to our bodies. So Karen, this work is so amazing. That's a lot of the work I've had to do the last couple of years because I had to have two surgeries because of these things, and I didn't end up having the cancer, thank God. But the thing was, is I finally realized that if I kept thinking these things, it's just going to keep coming back. It's going to somewhere else in my body. So these thoughts and these things, but we were all programmed with these, and it's really hard work, but it's so important. Nothing has come back, and all my pain is gone. So anyway, I just wanted to share a side note because it's so important. And I just, anytime I can tell somebody that, I do so.
So since you brought this up, I'm going to go down this road a little bit because this is a very, I think it's a delicate topic, and I'll tell you why. We spent a lot of years with the Unity Church, and Unity is very much about, it was founded by two people who healed themselves with their thoughts, right? And one from tuberculosis, I believe it was, and another one, his leg was short, and he used the power of his mind, lengthened his leg. And so the whole unit, there's a whole bunch in the Unity movement about using the power of your thought to heal yourself. But here's the thing. That is a facet of our journey. It's a facet of this complex thing we called life. And I have seen too many people. I have a dear friend right now who get cancer, who gets sick, and they try and try to change their thoughts, and they still have cancer, and they're still sick, and they still die. And they die feeling like they were a failure. Oh, it just wanted to make me cry, because they couldn't heal themselves with their thoughts.
Oh.
So it's a delicate, delicate dance here. And what I have come to, in my mind, how I have looked at this is that, yes, your thoughts are powerful. There is absolutely no question about that. And I do the same thing Kathleen does. I have autoimmune, and I went in, you know, what are the thoughts that are behind this? And there's a lot of material out there about that, but that's like a separate workshop. That's a separate thing. That's not the topic of this training, but there's validity there. However, this is what Kriyananda, my guru, said. And I'll tell you what he said, and that'll give you the context. He said that it is not important if you heal the cancer in the body. Because sometimes, and we'll get into this in the summer, this is our summer topic, right? It's how energy precipitates into matter, how our thoughts precipitate into matter. We're going to work with the energy body, and all of that kind of leads into the retreat. So I'm not going to get into that right now. But what I will say is that there's a point where your thoughts have condensed so much into matter. And it's like if you blow glass, if you've ever seen, you know, at the Midway, or you've been to glass blowing, it's molten, it's hot, and it can be changed, and it's malleable. But once it's in form, once it's cooled, the only way to change it is to either melt it back down again or break it. It's in form. It's taken form. And Kriyananda's point was, there's some karma we've come in to work through that is actually attached to other people's karma. And your illness, your disease, and you don't have to believe me on this, just try it on. You came in for this experience so that other people could learn how to heal it, learn how to treat it, learn how to cope with it. We're so interconnected that even our diseases, our accidents, those things are, we are part of another person's story. And so his point was, it's not, whether or not you heal the cancer in the body isn't the measure. The measure is, did you heal it in the subtle realm, in your thoughts, in your energy? If you heal it there, you won't come back with it.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, so it's, and he told me back, I'm calling it the aughts now, you know, the 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, it's the aughts. And I'd already had like 15 years in unity. 12 years, 13 years. And it was such, it's like it all made sense.
Right.
Because our karma is so interconnected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about, as Kathleen will tell you, when you move into these roles, it's about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's about letting go of those, never mind. We're not going to go down that road right now. There's so much material out there about it, but what I want to put out to you as my students is, you are not a failure if you don't heal something in your body with your thoughts. You are not a failure. Change your thoughts. That's what we're here to do. We are here to become master of our thoughts. That's what we're here to do. Okay.
And I want to just point out. Thank you. That was very helpful, Karen.
Okay, so last little piece. many, many, many of the great enlightened masters do not die in their sleep.
Right.
They die of heart attacks. They die of diabetes. They die of, what else? What was, they die of some physical ailment. The body has to die somehow. It's going to die. It's the trajectory, right? And so death by a disease is not a failure. And that's the main flaw in that other way of thinking.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, Lisa.
That is a very parallel way of thinking to prayer will solve it too. And that is a trap also, because there was a lot of people stuck in shame because their depression wasn't there or was still there, or their marriage still sucked or something, or their kids still went to jail. Something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Do you see the trap it creates?
Yeah.
And do you see how much power somebody has over you now? I mean, it kills me. It doesn't kill me. That's an exaggeration. Sometimes I face things for exaggeration. But, you know, I see it out there all the time. And people make money off of this. Let me tell you that you can, by doing this, get that. And you give them all this money, not you, but we give them all this money to help teach us something that we can do to get there, and then we don't get there, and it's our fault, not their fault, right? They just made a lot of money knowing that we're never going to get there. One out of every 50,000 people comes through, and those are the ones who will be on the promotions and the ads and blah, 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 right? We're working with the human mind. The human mind, as you are discovering and as you will get to know, is complex. It's layered. There's your everyday mind, you know, that solves things and takes track of things you have to do. There's that part of you, your mind, that is, it is compassionate and wise. And there are other deeper parts of you that are wounded and afraid. And those parts of you are running you. That's what we know. Those things in the subconscious, that subconscious belief. Your subconscious belief is, somebody's going to fuck with me. I need to stay on guard because somebody's going to fuck with me. You can do all the affirmations in the world. And your inner, we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, so I don't want to get too much into it today. But your vibration is, don't fuck with me, right? You operate from a place of, hey, life is good. Everything happens for a reason. This is all going to work out. If that's your underlying thing, that's underneath everything. That's a different vibration that's running you. Would that make sense? Was that simple enough? Yeah. And so part of what we're learning as meditators is, how are we shifting that underneath, that vibration that's underneath it? And not all of that vibration is challenging. Some of it is supportive and great, but we're learning to become aware first of our conscious thoughts. And this is what happens. You begin to then have the ability to become aware of the subconscious, the unconscious, those things that are running you that you really aren't aware of. But to get there, we got to start by becoming aware of our thoughts. And this is what you do when you meditate. Yay, you. You're sitting there meditating. A thought comes in. And after, you know, 3 minutes, you go, oh, wow. I was just off in, you know, having a great dinner over at my mom's house, you know. And, oh, let me come back to Hunsa. That's the victory. That's it. That's it. Just that. I saw myself in a thought and I came back. That's your power. And then as we're learning the group meditation, the power behind the thought is the power in here, right? Of the feeling state. So we learn how to do everything Kathleen said is true. But what I want you to just keep in mind, it's a facet of the whole. And you are learning how to choose and discover the thoughts that will serve you. That's the first part of our journey. Okay. So what does it have to do with the body? Every thought registers in the body. The body is like, it's like clear water, right? And you have a blue thought, boom, blue goes in. And then it settles into one little part here. So it looks clear again, but there's blue still in there. And then you have a little drop of red. Red goes in. Eventually it settles out onto the bottom. And pretty, you know, you've got all this stuff and we just let it all settle at the bottom. And pretty soon somebody comes along, knocks your little glass. It's called a trigger. And boom, all those things come up. You know, and that's what we're reacting from. I just made that analogy up. So if it didn't work, don't hang on to it. The point being that your body knows. And when we do this work, we're training ourselves to do a couple of things. One is to become aware of what the body is telling you sooner and sooner and sooner. In other words, before your heart is tightened like this and your gut is tightened like this and you're ready to just at somebody, before it gets that tight, it has to start tightening. And we, by becoming aware of our body, can become aware of, oh, it's starting to tighten. Oh, something's up. What's going on? Okay. The other thing is the body. When we start this work that you're doing right now, it's almost like all those little things at the bottom of the glass have been sitting there going, let me out, let me out. And you sit here and you get into meditation. All of a sudden, you don't know why you just start crying. It's like a little thing at the bottom went, yes, she's not paying attention. I'm out of here. Yes, he's not looking right now. Oh, he's so calm and relaxed. Okay, boom, 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 boom. Can we get out? And it just, And so your job is to learn how to become stable so that these things can release. And trust me. Don't trust me. Never trust me. Don't trust me. Never, ever trust me. Okay, let's be clear on that. Figure it out for yourself. Take what I say, try it. And if it works, works. If it doesn't, then I'm full of shit. And I'm okay with that. But then come back and tell me so I know too, right? So it's like these things come out and you don't have to intellectually understand what just happened. Just let it go. Let it go. If it's ready to let go and you're letting it go, it's because you have enough other stability in your life. You've gained enough awareness that it feels safe being released. Eventually you'll understand, but you don't have to understand in the moment. Trying to get up here, I say to all you air signs, of which there are most of you, trying to be up here and understand it, air and fire signs, up here. Understand it logically is not your way in or out. It's not about that. There's nothing logical about wounds, about fear, about anxiety, about panic. No amount of logic is going to solve it. So we trust the body. We trust the body. We let the body, you are gaining the skills. And when we get to rain, I think you've all done rain, right? Everybody here done rain? Agnieszka, didn't we do rain at one of the things?
We did it once, you and I, but that was only one time.
That was only one time? Okay. All right. Well, we'll be working with rain, but this is what rain is. Rain is the ability in its deepest form. Okay. There's layers that rain works, right? Okay, wait, before I say any more, everybody knows what I'm talking about with rain, right? Mm-hmm. If you know, okay, and Steve, everybody, Kathleen, Brenda, okay. In its immediate form, rain is the ability to be present with an emotion and not trap it. and allow it to move through you, right? In its, the skill it's teaching you is the skill that will allow you to release all that debris, all that old gunk and schmutz that's there at the bottom of your glass that wants to be let go. And when you've let it go, you're not triggerable. You're not triggerable. And so just as an example, when I was raising my kids, and everybody here who has kids understands this, and it's bedtime, and you're exhausted, and they won't go to bed, and you have a 3 or 4 year old coming up with every excuse, I'm hungry, I have to pee, there's a monster under my, right? And I would get so frustrated, right? We had my granddaughter spend the night last night. She's 4. And she was, this is the difference. She was so excited to be here. She couldn't sleep. And so it's bedtime. I'm hungry. Okay, fine. What do you need? Okay. Oh, this. It was 2 hours. And she's sleeping in our room with us, right? Because my sister is here in the guest bedroom. And I hope every one of you parents understands this. And if you don't have kids, you have dogs or pets. You have something in you that knows this frustration. There was not even a shred of irritation. It was just watching, looking, going, maybe this is what she needs. Oh, what does she need right now? Oh, you know what? She's just so excited to be here. Okay, what does she need? And eventually, it occurred to me, Bill was already asleep by now, and I went, Rowan, let's do meditation. Because there was no this in me. It was just delight. And I tried to do the one we're going to learn today, which is just squeeze and release, squeeze, release. And she did those. We did it like 4 places on her body. Then I said, Rowan, soften your forehead. She goes, it's already soft. I said, okay, soften your arms. They're already soft. Soften your legs. They're already soft, Gigi. And then I realized, okay, this isn't going to work. No frustration, no irritation, nothing. Nothing. Because so much work has been done, right? But I didn't know how much work has been done until Rowan showed up last night and wouldn't go to sleep. And then I was able to go, oh, I know what. Let's give her get her into her head, into her imagination, which will carry her into her dreams. And so I was able to give her a sweet little meditation in the garden with the flowers and the fairies, and everybody's going to sleep when she would come by them, you know, and then she's laying there so still. And I think, oh, she's done. So I'm quiet and I'm just kind of laying like this on my bed. And all of a sudden she goes, why did you stop, Gigi? And so I continued until I could tell she had settled. But the point of the story is there was not a moment of anger or frustration. There was never a sternness in my voice. Rowan, it's time for bed. Right? Right? Because of all this work. Did I know I was there? No, I didn't know I was there until Rowan showed up and said, test, how you doing, Karen? So this is why we do this work. This is why we learn to trust the body, release this stuff. It doesn't have to be analyzed and in fact, I'm going to tell this to you, all you air signs and you fire signs, staying up here to try and do it logically is your impediment. It's your impediment. Get into your body. Listen to your body. It's a somatic experience. And allow that to become the wisdom that guides you. That's where it is. So that's why we're about to do everything we're going to do. We're going to go deeper into body scan. I'm going to talk about 3 different ways of working with the body to relax the body, soften the body. And then in the weeks to come, we're going to start working with techniques that need you to be able to be aware of a sensation in your body. And so the skill of being showing up without judgment is the skill that we bring to Tonglen, which is a hugely transformative technique, and we bring to the ring technique. Okay. So, any thoughts or questions on that? Laura, how much time do you have before you have to run?
An hour.
Oh, you've got, oh yeah, 2 hours this morning. That's right. Okay. So anybody, any thoughts, comments, questions? Kelsey.
I'm thinking about, of course, all the things you're saying, but I'm going back to Bhante's book as well, where I'm pretty sure I'm remembering it right. He talks about, like, when anything comes up, to, like, really investigate it. And I remember when I read that, I wrote the note, like, how do we really investigate it without, like, attaching to it and becoming obsessive with it, you know? So I'm just trying to hold those truths. And is it just that we take it back to the body?
Okay. Step one, you got to be aware of it first, right? Mm-hmm. Step two, you got to allow it to be there first. Mm-hmm. And then there is the process of, we would call it, my teachers call it discovery. He calls it investigating, but I like the word discovery because we're diving into it in, as a means of discovering something. And that we will get to that, but we're not going to get to that this trimester. Okay. We're definitely going to get there, but right now it's kind of like step by step. We got to be in our body. And not only do we have to be in our body, we have to be able to be in our body with stability and learn how to let it do whatever it's going to do. And we can still sit here just as still as this. Or if we're getting up and we're pacing, we know exactly why we're pacing. Right? Or if we're getting up and we're eating, we know exactly why we're eating. And then that opens up the space for that kind of investigation. We call it discovery, which leads to insight. Satori, as Kriyananda would call it. So great question, Kelsey. And I'm glad that you put that together because it does all fit together. But I'm trying to just go a little sequential.
That makes sense. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody else?
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
So at the end of last Sunday, you did that very intense Mother's Day visualization. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. I was like very emotional, like, because I really felt like I had a compassion and empathy that wasn't previously there. And I shared some of that with Lily because she happened to be here and said, are you upset? I said, no, I'm like, wow. My mind's a little blown, but never thought about this. And then later that afternoon, we went ahead and went over to visit. And it was okay. I set a time limit. That was important for me to be able to come home and do what I really wanted to do. See, I didn't really go with a full and open heart. And then about an hour after being home, I got the text that was, well, you know, thanks. I thought you should know, in all caps, it's been at least 10 years since you actually saw me on this particular day. And when you mentioned your granddaughter doing test, you know, and I was like, huh, and just put the phone down. So I I didn't feel that wonderful sense of compassion, but I didn't fly into a reactive fury.
Yes.
And that, once again, that was definitely a poke, poke, poke. I'm like, I come, I show up, I bring banana bread to your significant other who's in the hospital with COVID because you wouldn't get your damn shot, and bring your strawberries, you know, well, it's creeping in a little. And then it's, oh, by the way, you haven't showed up here in person in 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you feel? Tell us how you felt.
Well, you know, it was, there was a little bit of, you know, I felt like an eye roll. I was like, of course, you know, it doesn't matter. In the last five of those years, right? It's been like, she's been visiting my grandma who's now living with her, but you know, it's like, yeah, we weren't here at the same time. We always plan something the next day or the.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right here because now I want you to know, Lisa, I've been doing this with Lisa for over 10 years, I think. And so I'm going to be a little more direct with her than might be with some of you. No. This is perfect. So I just don't want to scare some of you who are going, oh, fuck, I'm never going to say anything because Karen will do this with me. I'm doing this with Lisa because I've done with this with Lisa before and I know she's up for it. So Lisa, that's all story, isn't it? Everything, I said, how do you feel? And you immediately, you gave me an eye roll, which was a feeling, and then you went right into the story, right? So let's go back to how did you feel and where in your body did you feel it?
Okay, well, it was really disappointing. Made me sad.
Yeah.
Where did I feel it in my body? No, probably right here.
And what does it feel like that you know that's where you're feeling it?
Yeah, I tend to, biggest emotions are here in the belly. What does it tell me?
No. What is the sensation? Is it, tighter? What is the sensation that you know it's here? What are you experiencing as a physical sensation?
It feels like there's sort of a hollowness. Mm-hmm.
That's good. So Lisa just demonstrated everything I just said. Lisa, thank you. Because what it is, you notice the difference, right? If we could you all feel it's the story, right? Keeps you up out of your body. When we're in our head, we're not in our body. And as soon as I said, I asked her the question, what were you feeling? And she went back into her body and she was able to be with the sadness and the disappointment. That's what it was about, right? And could you hear, Lisa, I don't know if you noticed it, but your whole tone changed, your whole body, everything changed. And it was like, I was sad. It's a lot harder to be with sad than it is to be with, oh, I da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the story, right? Those thoughts, those things are protecting us. They're there to protect us because we don't know how to deal with the sadness. So let's be clear, we're not doing anything wrong. Getting into our head, getting into a story is a protection mechanism that we have learned to help us cope, right? It takes incredible courage and a desire for something different to be able to do what Lisa just did, which what all of you are doing, right? Which is to come back into the moment and go, you know, I'm just really sad. And this isn't what I wanted. I want a different mom. I want a different relationship, right? And so that's what we're talking about. Her body knew Her mind didn't want to listen. So if we can go into our body knows. And our body will tell us. And then we get to the next point, which is the disappointment and sadness. That's what Kelsey was talking about. Then we will get to what do you do once you're there? There's a place, there's a skill to just be with it. Just be there. Just be with it. But that's really uncomfortable. And we as Westerners are not happy with uncomfortable. We don't like it. We run from it. We have all these mechanisms to avoid feeling. And the skills that you're learning enable you to be with uncomfortable for days, if necessary. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Those feelings cannot and will not last forever unless you hold on to them. They are your thorn tree, right? If you allow them to be in there, this is the other piece. The body knows how to heal it. It just let it move through, and it comes out the other side, and somehow you're different. And the way I explained it to somebody last week was, it's like all of that hurt from my son that I told you about last week that was here. You know, it took days, a couple days for it to move through. But when it did, if I go and look for that now, there's not a hurt here. It's like it on its own, it moved into my belly and it's there now as strength. It's turned into strength because I didn't get in the way. I didn't psychoanalyze it. I just stayed present with the hurt, with the guidance that I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to have ill thoughts towards other people. Those don't make me feel good. I want to be happy for my son. And I don't want to get into all the detail, but I did send him a Marco Polo, where I told him how happy I was for him. And he actually called on Mother's Day, which this is a son who, as some of you know, it was two Mother's Day, two birthdays, no phone calls, right? And when he did, I was able to show up for the phone call, completely present. No, you know, like Lisa's mom did, no guilt, right? We all know that place. But because I was able to show up and it had just dropped into my belly as strength, my being happy for him, all of that, it's like, I'm different, but I'm not different because I stuffed it or because I psychoanalyzed it. I'm different because I allowed the feeling to be there and I use the guidance of, if I'm feeling jealousy, that other person isn't feeling it. I'm feeling it in here. It's only so I don't want to feel this, right? If I'm feeling ill will towards somebody, they don't know it. I'm feeling yucky in here. So I don't want to feel that. Let's choose something else to feel. What's the antidote to jealousy? Be happy for the person. I mean, it's just simply using the principles, right? Okay. Karen, how can you find a way to be happy for him? Okay. Sadness, that's the mom and dad he didn't get. Okay. But happy, he got the mom and dad, you know? And so you just work yourself through it. You work yourself through it and you come out the other side and you're freaking different. And then your 4-year-old granddaughter comes to spend the night and you don't get upset. It's like magic. Okay. So Lisa, Agnieszka, I see you one more second. Lisa, thank you, thank you, thank you for saying what you said and for being so, you've always been so gracious about becoming part of the teaching, you know, and I really, really appreciate that about you. Thank you. And was it valuable to see it in real time?
Yeah. Okay, Agnieszka, let's do, yeah.
I just have a quick question to what you said. So you feel it in your body, but then it sounded to me, what I heard is to work through it, to use your mind to change.
Use my mind to change my thought.
The thought.
I use my mind to recognize what is the thought. The thought is, I'm so jealous. The thought is, I want that. I want to be the one he's walking down the street with and laughing with, not her. You know, I'm jealous. I recognize it's jealousy. The mind helps me not to stay just in, I don't like Cheryl, blah, 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 but to go, whoa, look, that's jealousy. Oh, look, it's making you feel really yucky, right? Oh, look, that's beating yourself up for being such a terrible mom and not parenting the way he needed to be parented. Okay, yep, that's okay. What's a thought to help me? Karen, you did the best you can. This is what was going on in your world. You know, and if I could do it different, I would. But at the time, these are the forces at play, and being kind and compassionate to myself. So my mind helps me choose the thought that will serve my goal. Recognize the thoughts that are sabotaging it. That's what the mind does. It's not sitting there going, well, I did this. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for this. But in that moment, it's not going, well, I did this because my mom did this and my dad did this. And it's all their fault because blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, no, this is what's going on right now. And I think I'm heading down a different path. Did that answer the question? Is there more?
Yes, but well, I'm kind of trying to connect it with what you said earlier, that it's not a logical process.
Yeah. It's not, that's okay. Good point. Okay. So a logical process is going in my head going, okay, so he's walking down the street with her and she's okay. That's the mom he wanted and he's having fun with her and I'm not going to drink whiskey with him. So that's the way it goes. Blah, blah, blah. Logical. That does absolutely nothing for all of this. It doesn't even touch it. And I love the fact that all that is going on in here and it's like it doesn't go below. And this is where all the stuff is. This is where all that stuff is. And so I have to drop out of here and be present in the feeling. Oh, this is a feeling of my heart breaking. Oh, this is the feeling of jealousy. Oh, this is that feeling. Okay. Wow. That's really real. Okay. Allow it to be there. This is what it feels like. Okay. Can I bring in? I'm not suppressing or getting rid. Can I add into this a feeling of happiness for him? And that may be the key piece. It's like, I'm not solving it logically because that doesn't fix this. We think it does.
Yeah.
Right. But okay, let me come back down. What am I feeling? Okay. These are the things I'm feeling. Okay. All right. Let me bring into this a feeling of happiness for him. Happiness for him. And so they're swimming together for a while, right? And then eventually this one, since it's been paying attention to, it says, okay, I'm done. I worked it out. I got your attention. We got this solved. Okay. Now I can be happy for him. And then somehow magically, and one of you may figure it out, it all turned into strength. It turned into strength. Did that answer it better?
Yes, thank you.
Agnieszka, I love your questions because this is what happens is I never answer correctly the first time. And so Agnieszka is helping me learn how to go, okay, wait a minute. Wait, what is the real question? How can I get there, right? And so Brenda, yeah.
So I've been having an experience because I don't know how much my mom is in a care home and she's at very rapid decline now through dementia and Alzheimer's. And I have a weekly visit with her because of the COVID restrictions. But I have been finding that my visit is at 10 a.m. and I tell my family I'm not home till 11:30. And it's because my mom's visit is usually 40 minutes if we're on a good day. And it's because I've been building in time to, well, I often go and get like, I often go and get like a treat. I don't drink coffee anymore, but a treat to have after okay, I
Brenda,
go to see.
Brenda, I'm going to interrupt you right here. Okay. And once again, I'm only doing this because a long history. I would not do this to any of the others of you. Brenda, I don't want you to laugh at all while you tell the story. Okay. Stay really present.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So I've built in time to get a treat of some sort, usually warm. And I sit in my car and I just have whatever emotion, which now lately has just been crying and sadness after I leave her. And, that's not new for me, but it is definitely something to get comfortable with. And I'm not to the point of like having to fix anything yet or switch it out, but I think just that I'm giving myself that time.
So, Karen, you said...
Hang on just a minute, Kathleen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Brenda, I'm really, really... I don't know the word for what you just said. Because I've been noticing over the last months that the laughy has gotten more and more back, right? And I knew something's going on. And it's the grief, isn't it? It's the grief and the sadness. Yeah. 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 And I want you to just know that in this group and in the mom's group, when these moments come, just sit with them. It's like, I don't know if you know, Lisa, other Lisa, one eye. Same thing, so much going on right now. And sometimes it just comes as tears. And
I am still here.
I know you're there. I know you're there. It's like when the tears come, if you can't be here and let them come, where can you? And so it's like, just let them come. Just let them come. Just let them come. And we'll help hold space for you. We won't draw attention to it, but we're all going to know that it's like Kelsey right now, you're processing something. Something is releasing itself and that's good. It's like it's safe. It wants to, and there's, you're doing exactly right, Brenda. So I'm going to ask you, stay here. And if you need to go to the laughy thing in day life, because to help you just cope through it, but I just want you to know I noticed it and I was grateful you said this because now I understand what's going on. And so please with us, be here. Allow yourself we allow you to be here. How's that? All right. Well done, sweetheart. Well done. April, I'm going to go to Kathleen first. Let's just do one or two more questions and then we really do need a break. So Kathleen.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fine.
I just wanted, you said if anybody knows how this is building strength, I was just going to tell you there is like it, if you go back to building the neural pathways, there's, you know, it goes to, for people with addiction, right? Their addiction, they have these neural pathways and they get these deep grooves in their brain. And we all have them about certain things that we do. But you noticing the jealousy and not reacting this time, every time, it reforms that pathway.
Absolutely. But that's not what I meant. I'm not talking. I mean, yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
But I'm talking mystically, really.
Right.
On a high level, right. It's like.
Yes, I get that too.
Yeah.
I get it too. Okay.
All right. So thank you. Thank you. Lise, April.
Well, I don't know how much time you have. I just had a thought when we were talking about all this stuff and something that my daughter's has, as you know, severe, pretty extensive anxiety from birth. I mean, she came into the world with this. And her developmental pediatrician one time, when she was quite younger, she always just went to anger whenever something uncomfortable happened. Always it was anger. And it was kind of almost midway through my tenure of meditating with you. And she said something to me that it comes up all the time. She said, it is easier for the mind to go to anger because anger is thoughts. Anger is story. So it's easier to go to anger than it is to go to sadness or fear. And sadness and fear is kind of an underlying base of anxiety. Yes. And so she said it's like for a kiddo who doesn't understand the world, they're just going to go to the story. They're going to make a story because they don't know how to get in their body or certainly in our Western society, our culture, they don't know what that means and looks like. It's just scary. So don't touch that. Go to a story, which means, you know, in her case, it's everybody else's fault. I've just got to be mad because that way I don't have to deal with this. And like, it was just mind blowing the way she said it. And so I always go back to that. Like, and so the other day, I was talking about meditation and different things and relating to meditation, and Jeremy, my husband, said, God, I wish our kids could just understand how valuable this stuff is. Like they would help them so much right now with their stuff. And like, well, I mean, yeah, it would be great, but that's not the point actually. Like maybe they will. Eventually, maybe they won't. That isn't the point really that we do it because then the shit they do won't bother us and we'll be modeling it for them. But it was just this, I kind of combined the two that they're working through how to get to this, you know, and in order to get to this, they've got to, we all do as human beings. It is our nature to tell a story because this is harder. This is harder. Yes. So we just go, we go to the story. We go to the thoughts and stay up there. It's way more comfortable to stay up there. Yes. Anyway, that was all I had to say.
So then I'm going to so thank you. And actually that just tied a little bit together with what Kathleen was asking. So let me just end on this note. Anger is power. When you are angry, you feel strong and you feel powerful, right? And so anger gives all of us, not just kids, it gives all of us a place where we can feel strong again and like we're in control again. The strength that I found through this thing that happened with Joe is a strength that did come from anger. When you're saying that, April, it just hit me. It's like, oh, this is a strength that did not come from anger. And I relied on anger for decades to be my strength. Right? But this is a deep, deep rooted, very calm, stable strength. And I think that's, And it's in the chakra system, right? We went from the hurt in the heart to the navel center. That chakra is your power. It is your strength chakra. So anyway, I just wanted to float that out there for a few of you who might have been interested in that. And, you know, I'm going to tell y'all something else. I was sitting here trying to write up your homework for next week. And this is how life works for me, man. And I could not come up with what I wanted you to, because I wasn't sure how we were going to get through this weekend. But we've already taken a bunny trail into some really good territory. So now I'm sitting here going, oh man, I saved myself so much time by not writing up something that's not going to be relevant. So let's take a break and we're going to come back and let's continue down this path. And Laura, do you want to try and come back for the next 20 minutes or do you want to just take off?
No,
okay. All right, perfect. Then let's do 10 minutes. And if some of you in different time zones need some lunch or some of you in our time zone need breakfast, it's totally okay to come back with your food and eat while we're talking. Okay. All righty. So see you in 10.